Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dude!
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
Welcome back into the Radcast. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
And thank you for joining us again this week. Thank you all who listened to 2007.
Yes.
That took me by surprise because so far it is our most first day downloaded episode.
It is.
That completely took me by surprise.
It didn't take me by surprise.
Yeah, no,
I believed in us all along.
It didn't take me by surprise either because I believe in us all along.
Good.
So thank you all for listening to that. If you haven't listened to it, go give it a listen. If
Please.
This is your first time hearing the Radcast, we have a lot of archived episodes that may tickle your fancy.
Yep. What episode number is this? 90?
91.
Of the Radcast.
Yeah, of the Radcast. 10.
Countdown to 100.
10
Countdown
more.
Countdown to extinction.
Exactly, which we have no clue what we're covering for 100.
Nope.
But we will see it falls in time when we're doing 5 weeks of Fright.
Yeah, we do have a few big episodes, some big episode projects we're working on.
Yeah, we have project ideas that we're working on, stuff that we're wanting to do. Some upcoming episodes, we're going to be doing something that you might consider an end of summer, dog days of summer type deal with movies that are fun for kids to watch during the summer, movies about the summer classic or about, you know, the America's pastime that's played during the summer. Hey, you'll see.
A lot of anniversaries we're celebrating coming up.
For sure. We're excited to talk to some great people about that. And we'll see.
Historians.
People,
Marines.
Dead people who lived through those times.
Yeah, exactly.
Army men. Yeah, you're referencing today. I'm more referencing the seances we're going to have to talk to dead people about the upcoming week's subjects.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about a film that came out in 2006, co-produced by WWE.
Ah, yes.
No, it's not their first effort that they co-produced.
It's not?
No Holds Barred.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the late 80s with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I don't know. I see that as
This is really under their WWE Films banner.
Yeah.
Like their first, like they co-produced with like
that's
20th Century Fox.
That's why I don't count No Holds Barred in there. Even though it's similar, like this is WWE Films, like this is their established production company.
Yeah. And what we're talking about is first, we're doing another Radcast Riffs.
Riff.
It's been a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is truly going to show that it is not a music-related segment.
We're not talking about riffs as in guitar riffs.
Yeah.
Now on the guitar.
Yeah.
Wee, wee, wee.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. I know the last two entries in this series have been music-related.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's pure coincidence.
Yep.
But thank you for joining us for that. And before we get into the Marine,
We salute the Marine, like good Marines. We are Marines.
We were in the Corps.
Yes.
It
was a real bore. It made me want to snore.
Tell me more. No, don't tell me.
I couldn't think of anything.
No, that's okay. Why don't you just let everybody know where they can find us?
Okay, you can find us not hiding, because we don't hide.
I'm not afraid of you, Marines.
I'm not afraid of anything.
I'm not afraid of the military.
I'm not afraid of anyone foreign or domestic.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll find us under an American flag, saluting.
yeah, baby.
No, you can find us on
21 Fun Salute.
you can find us on Instagram. We're at the Radcast, cast spelled with a K. Radcast is all one word. And then you can find us on all major podcast apps, your Spotify's, your Stitcher's, Apple Podcasts, wherever applicable. Please make sure to go rate and review.
Yes.
Because 5-star reviews really help us out.
Yes. So let's get into the Radcast Riffs. So, yes, like we've mentioned before, We are talking about The Marine.
Yep.
And this movie reminds you a bajillion times that John Cena, a.k.a. John Triton, is a Marine.
Just in case you didn't know that that was the title of the movie.
Exactly. Also, this movie, nothing to do with the Marines.
Yeah, that's it's strange. It's really weird. The Marine is actually he's a wrestler, and that's his wrestling character.
Yeah, exactly. They ordered him to throw a match, and he's like, we don't throw matches.
Yeah, so like in Mr. Nanny.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's not what it is. It came out in 2006, but I think it was recorded. It was filmed in 2004, I believe.
Yeah.
Because the story is 2004, and we've talked about this before. 2004 is when Matt and I got into wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and one of the big storylines on SmackDown at that point was John Cena, mm-hmm. who was really starting to catch fire.
Oh,
2003, 2004, he was over like Rover.
Yep.
The storyline was he got stabbed in a nightclub
mm-hmm.
by the new superstar Carlito's bodyguard, Jesus.
Yeah. Yep.
But really, it was a way to write him off TV so he could film The Marine.
Yep.
So, and I remember thinking he actually got stabbed.
Yeah, exactly. Because this was before Matt and I were smartened up to how the business worked.
Yeah, yeah. That's when you get into wrestling, they send an old wrestler to your house when it's time to smarten you up.
Yeah, exactly.
So that means either you get stretched or...
Let me stretch you. Take this big rhino.
It's too hard.
Take you down to the dungeon and stretch you.
Or they just beat the shit out of you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Say, oh, by the way, wrestling's bike.
And they walk out of the door.
That's always funny to me how like they break your bones for real and then... Isn't it to your first match? Yeah. You're like, it's all fake, dude.
Oh, anyway, so here's how wrestling actually works. Just side note, because you hear that from like your Jake the Snake Roberts, a lot of people back in the 70s mm-hmm. and even like territory days to where wrestling was a very, very close secret society.
Yeah.
And basically they had to weed out people who weren't cut out for it. And part of that was actually beating the shit out of you in training. And then before your first match, oh, by the way, here's how the business works. Can you imagine how jarring that would be?
Yeah.
It's like, you've taught me how to legitimately beat somebody up.
And you actually beat me, stretched me, and like made me want to die. Like beat me so bad you made me want to die. And then Then right before your first match, here's who's going over. Here's going to win. Wait a minute.
Anyway,
it's fake, kid.
Talk amongst. It's a work.
Yeah.
It. Oh, by the way, wrestling's a work. You two are going to work together. Just like, I don't know, because you have to learn how to work.
Yeah.
So it's like you're going to be throwing potatoes. He's like, cool off. It's like this is all I know how to do.
It's that stupid old
potatoes
school.
Being like throwing like stiff real.
It's the old school kayfabe bullshit that it's like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Yep.
It's
carnies.
It's carnies. Fucking carnies.
Carnies.
Yeah, exactly.
Small hands smell like cabbage.
But this isn't the history of wrestling. That would be fun though.
Yeah,
in like a roundabout way, what we were talking about was we weren't smartened up to the business, so we thought John Cena had actually been stabbed. But, you know, when he came back, we were massively excited.
Oh, yeah.
Although, in hindsight, he didn't have a stab scar or anything.
No.
So it was fake. It was all fake.
It was all fake meatballs. It's all fake.
Anyway, he was away filming The Marine.
Yeah.
This movie
anyway.
We went off in the weeds there. We went off into a swampy bog.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
They walk around in.
In this movie,
which in the little descriptor I'm about to start reading, I go back and forth between saying like a marsh, a bayou, a bog, because I don't know where they're at.
Yeah, it's just John Cena's friend splashing around in a bayou.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to read. Let's talk about the Marine here. So some basic stuff. It's not going to be like when we do a rental or when we did on
the
Sucktastic
Marine,
where we
talked about 2006 starring
it came out in 2006. Yeah. John Cena's John Triton. Robert Patrick is the main villain. Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So
Kelly Carlson
was on Nip Tuck at the time.
Plays Kate Triton.
Yeah.
You know, a few character actors here and there.
Yep.
But let's just get into it.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Van Buren, one of the Van Buren boys.
One of the Van Buren boys. Van Buren.
That's their sign.
So I was holding the cheese crate and I put up their sign.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yes. The opening title sequence has some marching military music with visages of Old Glory.
Mm.
We then get a tight shot of John Cena's face.
It pans out to show JC in a Marine uni superimposed into a bright blue background.
Yep.
He then gives a quick jerky salute, and the size of his body and the gloves he's wearing makes him look like a mascot.
Yep. This is later on in wrestling. That would be John Cena's thing.
Yeah.
Like, he gets more, is he like, and he's still in his entrance, he'll kind of like stand at the top of the entranceway, do a salute, and then run down to the ring. Which, nothing wrong with that.
No. He's not paying homage to this movie.
No.
He just made it as a part of his thing.
But it's funny to think that it kind of feels that way. Mm-hmm. Like, because he trained with the Marines for this movie. So it's kind of funny to think that in his own head, he's a Marine.
Yeah. When he became,
John. Cena, call me John Triton. What?
No. No.
Yeah. No, thank you.
But obviously, part of his super face persona would be paying respects to
absolutely.
The military. Yeah. WWE loves the military. The tribute to the troops and all this stuff. So this was a big thing, big project for them to do.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, they're going to hold it in high regard and deify it in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Anywho, the action of the movie opens in Iraq, and some tough customers have some U.S. Marines held hostage in a warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Another U.S. Marine, John Triton, has camo face paint on and is looking through a hole in the wall as the Marines get tortured.
He's dressed for WCW War Games 95.
Yeah.
He's on camo the Hogan's face paint. Team.
Yeah.
Hogan, Sting, Randy Savage.
First thing I thought of was when Barry Windham was in the WWF as the Stalker.
Yep, that's what they're going for.
Yeah. And he's looking through a hole in the wall.
And also, that was his... that over the military radio, those were his marching orders.
There's some tough customers over in that warehouse over there.
There are some real tough customers over there.
Be careful. They're real tough customers.
I think there's one named Iraqi Pete.
It's an SNL reference.
John Triton has camo face paint on looking through a hole in the wall as the Marines get tortured and their captors make demands and make a spectacle of it. JC, his JT, is planning on pulling a Y2J and breaking down the walls of the warehouse and saving his comrades. A voice on the other end of his walkie-talkie tells him not to engage. John says F that, and he goes in to make the save himself.
He said, screw that, I'm a Marine.
Yeah, exactly. He lays out the bad guys and goes to free the hostages. The four military men walk through a tunnel in slow-mo as a firefight goes on in front of them. One of the soldiers says, how do we get around this? And John Boy says, we don't. We go through it.
Yeah.
The shot.
I was going to say, we don't see how the hostages turn out.
Even though there seemed to be a very high explosion budget here, they didn't bother to film that explosion.
Yeah. I will say, when John Cena is like taking out all the... the bad guys, all the Iraqi men, and I'm really hesitating because this is built on an uber patriotic narrative.
The people who were holding the military hostage happen to be Iraqis.
Yeah.
We are not generalizing.
Yeah. I'm not saying that didn't happen. I don't, but the implication, I think, especially around this time. Especially the American thought process was like, everybody over there is dangerous and a threat. Well, and we're being told that all this shit is going, and it's just,
and if you're thinking from a WWE mindset, who were the big heels in the early 90s when it was still hot? And the Afghanis. During Desert Storm in Afghanistan.
And around this time, Muhammad Hassan was the biggest heel on SmackDown. So, it's just, that's all I'm going to say. This is going to be very lighthearted.
Yeah.
But anyway, when he's in there saving the hostages, he is pretty badass. The John Cena kind of yelling while running across as an action star shooting.
And John Cena, as the years have gone on, I love John Cena.
I do too.
I really, really do. Like, I like him. You know, I used to be on the train of like, oh, boo Cena, super Cena. And it's not that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
He was super Cena. But... around like 2012, when he was about to start facing The Rock, they were showing vignettes to where they're showing all of the Make-A-Wish stuff that John Cena was doing. He holds the record for the most wishes granted. He has like 600 wishes granted. John Cena is a stand-up guy. They were showing him doing that stuff. They were showing The Rock being a Hollywood playboy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm cheering for John Cena.
Yeah, because it was more so at that point, like, it didn't matter to me as much on
the wrestling side mm-hmm. of it. It's like it kind of is what it is. And he is a good performer.
He's very good.
But seeing his human, like him as a human being, I'm like, screw. Because it was like when we got into it, loved John Cena because he was a doctor of Thuganomics, won the WWE title, pushed to the moon, the guy.
Got jaded on
him. Yeah, got really jaded on him, and then came back around, and now I love the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And not just, again, not just in his ring work and mm-hmm. him as a wrestler and as a guy. I really like him as an actor.
I do too.
And he got a lot better. He's not that great in this movie.
He isn't great in this movie. You see shimmers of him being different.
Yeah.
Like, cause who what did you have to go off of before this? Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Like as far as like from the WWE lens. And maybe it's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah,
maybe
Kerry
like
Von
Nash
Erich
Bridges.
Was in Problem Child.
Yeah, sure. But like say like Nash Bridges, Stone Cold would show up in things, The Rock would show up and like make cameos on TV. And Stone Cold is very serviceable as well as an actor.
Yeah.
But John Cena started showing those glimmers. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not great in this movie, but he at least improved to where now he's a huge star.
He's very emotive.
He's really funny.
Yeah.
His delivery's great. If you saw The Suicide Squad, he's excellent in it. If you saw Peacemaker, I hear he's really good in that, which he was in with Robert Patrick.
Yeah,
which
I think
is
Robert
really
Patrick
cool.
plays his dad, which is funny because they play enemies in this movie. But
you can tell John Cena had something in this movie. There was something. He wasn't wooden.
Yeah.
You can tell he had charisma. Yeah. There was some sort of personality there.
Yeah.
And he's the craft of acting, he's taking time to get better, and it shows.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say that up front. I also just want to say up front that it's a popcorn movie.
It is.
It's a popcorn movie.
You know
movie.
What? It's a fun popcorn
it
movie,
is,
too.
It is fun.
Yeah.
It's not excellent. Nothing really stands out about it except the fact that the huge amount of explosions and how John Cena escapes unfazed.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's one scratch on him the entire movie.
Yeah.
And that's no exaggeration. And some of the shit he goes through, it's like how?
Oh yeah, and we'll kind of go through some of the stuff and some of these descriptions. But all in all, we want to just set that on the table before we continue as well, that we understand what the movie is.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it's safe for me to poke fun at.
Nope.
That goes for anything we talk about on this show.
Yeah.
However, let's keep going with this.
Uh-huh.
The shot then dissolves. This is the shot of after John Cena's like, we don't go around it, we go through it.
Yeah.
The shot then dissolves into a flame, and now we're on a military base.
Assuming all the hostages died. That's what I did.
It's assumed that it worked out okay.
Yeah.
Not died. It's assumed that it worked out okay. even though there's explosions out the ass in this movie, they didn't have the budget to show more going on around them as they go through it, like we mentioned. Anyway, at the military base, a general walks through a group of Marines pumping iron. Everyone stands at attention in their pants, and the general says, at ease, gentlemen, even though women are and also in plain sight. He calls for John Triton, and JT wonders, what's the sitch?
You know what? I know how he got this role. It was because John Cena was in Ready to Rumble in the background in a scene with Goldberg at the gym.
Yeah, okay, that's how he got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe if this whole movie took place in a gym, that would make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
The general takes him outside and tells him that for his dangerous act against orders, he's being honorably discharged. John says that they can't do this to him. He's a Marine. The general says, so is everybody else, and he smacks JT on the butt and says, now go out there and be somebody.
I will say, they convey in this movie that his identity is entirely wrapped up in being a Marine.
Which can be dangerous.
Like I said before, this movie has nothing to do with the Marines.
Yeah.
Like the main conflict.
Also, it seems like the Marines, by design, break you down and build you up in the image of a Marine.
It's kind of like Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
It's so funny you mentioned. I was listening to Kurt Angle has a podcast, and he had Chris Jericho on his podcast. And Jericho was talking about how Vince McMahon did something similar to him when he came in. Like, he just tore him down. And in the moment, he didn't realize what he was doing. He called Bret Hart, and Bret's like, oh, Vince has to break you down and build him in his image.
Yeah.
So yes, just like Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Yeah, just like Vince McMahon, who just retired, which is huge news. But he did it because he's got a bunch of legal stuff on his ass. So it's not really honorable.
Yeah, dishonorable discharge.
Exactly. anyway, at a suburban home, a blonde lady is writing her memoirs or letters while music from the Shire plays.
Yep.
It sounds like when the Hobbits return to the Shire.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lord of the Rings, not in the wrestling rings.
Yeah.
just then,
Lord of the Rings isn't the name of a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Except there was the Battle Bowl for the Lord of the Ring that Dusty Rhodes thought of that DDP won.
Yeah.
Anyway, just then a car pulls up and John Triton steps out. The blonde lady runs out of the house and into the arms of the now former Marine. She says, "You're home." They then burst into the house, sucking face and ready to make whoopee.
Oh, so there's not a whole lot of like helpful pieces of trivia on IMDb about this, but one of them is Kelly Carlson was the only person that auditioned because after her audition, John Cena was adamant that she played his wife. And I was like, oh, really?
Oh, huh? Yeah, huh? She's that good, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else? What the three other things about her?
She was like she is one of the legit like actors in the movie. It's not like wrestler trying to act kind of thing.
It's Robert Patrick and her were the only ones who really like did anything of note before this.
Yeah.
After a half naked montage, the woman, Kate Triton, says she can't believe her husband John is home. As a Marine's wife, especially a Marine who is active duty in some war torn areas, she was afraid of getting the call he wasn't coming home. John says, "Well, I'm home in the flesh, baby. You can see me, and I ain't going anywhere." Kate then mentions John starting his new job tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah. Oh, at one point she said, "You're here." I was like, "That's right, baby. The champ is here."
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to the C Nation, baby.
Yeah. So he's starting a new job the next day.
That was another one. The champ is here was another one of his slogans.
And she says how he doesn't have to. He says he's a Marine and he's got to stay active. She says she just wants him to be happy and then picks her up and whisks her away to the bedroom to make him happy.
Yep.
30 seconds later, he'll probably be on the couch watching Sports Center.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, baby. I didn't last long because I'm a Marine,
baby.
Yeah.
Next, in a city setting, a mysterious black car pulls up in front of a jewelry store. The driver, the T-1000 from Terminator 2, is in one of his many disguises. Tells his passenger he'll be right back. The passenger says, "You got it, man." Which leaves the T-1000 confused, probably because he isn't sentient with human emotions and doesn't understand humor. The passenger then says his impression was from Scarface, and it was one of the movie's many attempts at humor. T-1000 says it sucked, and he gets out of the car.
All of them are weird attempts. Either weird or borderline offensive.
Yeah, and we'll get more into that one, because that one is like a running joke.
That one's not even borderline.
No, that one's straight up.
That's like, straight up, like, toxic and offensive, and they're playing it off as a joke, but we'll get into it.
By the way, like we said, it's Robert Patrick, and he plays a different character in this film. Don't worry, it isn't the real T-1000. Now, we hear it later in the scene, but for the sake of brevity, I'll just say it now. His name is Rome.
Yeah.
Like, his name is brought up first in, like, a big reveal in the scene we're about to talk about. Rome walks into the jewelry store, and he observes rich folks being rich folks and making deals on jewelry. He then calls for everyone's attention and he disables a security guard. He orders everyone on the ground and that this is a stick up. He then gives a monologue about how what he wants is behind the shop's bulletproof glass. After grabbing the closest woman to him, holding her at gunpoint, and the woman pleading with the guard behind the glass, the guard opens up the barricade between Rome and the shop's safe.
I will say, this was a pretty good introductory scene of our villain. Like, as it would go, he becomes less and less of a strong villain, I think.
Uh-huh.
But this was a very good opening to be like, oh, we're going to get like a charismatic, chew-the-scenery type villain.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Patrick can do it.
Yeah.
And then it just... As the movie goes on, what are they trying to do?
They don't know what to do with this character. Yeah. They don't know what tone they're going for with this character. He should be the charismatic, sadistic kind of straight man to his goons or whatever. Yeah. But no, they still try to infuse the humor with Robert Patrick.
There are some parts to where they're like a few steps away from using the Balkan skull music.
Exactly. There's a couple scenes in particular.
Yeah.
But in this instance, it's a good introduction to this kind of you know, heartless, cold, yeah. callous character yep. who is charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
So he
Very
takes
Hans Gruber-esque.
Yeah. So he takes this woman at gunpoint, asks the guard to open up the barricade, which he does. The woman then takes her own gun and points it at the people on the ground. She was in on it the whole time. And then there was another one of the patrons who was in on it as well.
Yeah,
Bennett, which I didn't know his name until like the last 15 minutes of the movie, so he's just other guy in my notes.
And he never lets off any steam. Yeah,
exactly. And then I'll get further down and I'll see, oh, his name's Barnett, not Bennett. I don't know. Rome orders the guard to pull out some precious diamonds and puts them in his leather sack. It's not a euphemism for anything. It's real leather sack.
Yeah, it's real leather sack.
After doing so, and Rome on his way out, the guard then says, Rome, thus showing he knows who he is. Rome slowly turns around, and the guard says, aren't you going to hit me to make it look real for the cops?
Stupid.
You, Rome, if you want to. You don't have to. You can roam around the world. Rome chuckles, then blows the dude away. After showing an artsy close-up of a bullet casing, Rome says that was real.
He should have said, you watch too many movies.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Rome tells his female accomplice, Angela, that the cops are on their way.
Angela.
Before exiting, Rome says another monologue about how he's enjoying his stay in North Carolina, but this bird's gotta fly. Rome, Angela, and their other cohort walk in step out of the store as White Zombie plays, which is a pretty cool usage of it.
I thought the same. I got it's More Human Than Human is a
cool
great song to like pump up and stuff, and immediately I thought, okay, you've won me over when you use this song for sort of montage.
Well, my first thought was, how are they going to misuse this song? But then, like, as soon as the wow started, it's after Rome takes this AK or this assault rifle out of the trunk and starts blowing the cops away.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the music with the moment that's pretty cool,
not the action
itself.
Blowing the cops away.
Yeah. That's not cool.
Yeah.
Angela and the other person get in the car Rome arrived in. Rome takes an assault rifle out of the trunk. As the cops come speeding up the street, Rome opens fire. As he's shooting, a large African-American man comes from behind him with a bazooka. And he decimates the police car for good measure. Rome and the man get in the car, and the bazooka man says, what, too much? The crew then get out. He talks weird.
He does.
Like this character's name is Morgan, and he's just... Yeah. The sound of his voice makes it sound like somebody doing a voice. I don't know if that makes sense, but his voice just sounds funny.
Also, he's obviously like the muscle.
Yeah.
But they just play him like a doofus.
Yeah.
Like he's not intimidating at all.
Yeah.
And as you'll get into, John Triton makes quick work of him towards the end of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like they're portraying him as the big doof in cartoons. Like,
they're bad. Sorry, was that too much?
Yeah, it's something like that.
You told me to bring the bazooka.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, don't yell at me.
Yeah, like something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's the one they try to make the funny one, and they try to give. He's the one they give the really offensive thing to.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do with his race or anything.
No.
But it has to do with something that's incredibly traumatic for most people that should not be joked about. All in all, it's a lot of very dated things.
Yeah.
Especially with a character like this who there are moments where his race plays. He brings up his race in certain ways to where like it's supposed to be played as
like
funny.
Like he's the annoying bad guy for bringing us up. But this movie was not like Top Gun in that after Top Gun came out, you saw a 200% spike in Navy enlistment.
Right.
Because the only people that saw this movie were sweaty 14-year-old wrestling fans.
Yeah, there was a spike in bank heists.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, he says, what, too much? And then the crew then get the F out of Dodge. No, not long after, detectives show up to the scene, including the lead detective, a fella by the name of Van Buren.
Van Buren.
He concludes that some dangerous folks did this, and they're notorious throughout the land. Now in an office building, some douchebag and his joy boys walk in. JT, so frequently throughout the whole thing, I'll refer to John Triton as JT.
Yeah.
JT is at his first day of work as one of the building's security guards. His superior is sitting next to him, laughing at an issue of Men's Health. John asks him if this is what he being Joe, the other guy. John and Joe.
John, you put a lot of work into these characters.
Well, ask my friend John. Ask my friend Joe.
This is it was holding my gas.
Yes, Homestar Runner. and John asks him being Joe, the other guy, what he does all day. Joe says he used to have a Game Boy, but they took it away.
Aww.
John huffs and puffs a bit, but Joe tells him to chillax. It's a good job with good benefits, and there's not much to it.
Plus, you have to know, as someone who's lived in the civilian world before you were a Marine, that real life is not as exciting as the Marines.
Yeah, especially after you just, like, went all cavalier and freed a bunch of hostages.
Or as exciting as they portray the Marines.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we have friends who were Marines, and their stories are not as exciting as this movie portrays.
Yeah, you don't always end up in a war-torn battlefield. Sometimes you end up at a desk job.
Yeah, I mean, you do your time, and you did your service. You served. Thank you for that. And it's not always the same for everybody.
Yeah. Plus, after a few years, so Joe says after a few years, they make you manager, or they put you in management.
Yeah.
John then asks Joe how long he's been there, and Joe probably says 8 years.
Nine years, whatever.
John asks Joe, here's the thing.
It's a very important detail.
Yeah, sure. I watched it once on Friday and then skimmed it this morning, so I worked a lot off of what I remember from Friday.
I love this movie, and I've seen it 100 times.
Be quiet. You wasted your own time then. So 9 years. I'm sorry.
Yep.
John asks Joe why he isn't management, and Joe doesn't have an answer. Just then, douchebag walks up to the desk, yelling over the phone at someone. He takes a pen to sign in and throws it back at John. John calmly puts it back in the pen box, and the douche on the phone walks away. While his bodyguards sit in the lobby, John and Joe have another exchange, but then are called up to one of the office floors. We then see an innocent woman being yelled at by the earlier douche from downstairs. He's accusing her of cheating and saying some not-so-kind things about her moral character.
Mm-hmm.
Joe and John ask the man to come with them, and he tells the rent-a-cops to buzz off. After politely asking again, but with the same result, John grabs the man, and he has no other choice but to follow. The douchebag is then brought downstairs and is told to please leave the premises. He and his cronies don't go quietly, so John rears back to light them up. He was provoked, so it's not just an unprovoked thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe steps between them to be a peacemaker.
But
then gives JT the go-ahead to outclass the bums.
Yeah, because he stepped in like a good person, trying to defuse the situation, and one of the henchmen were like, can you tell your boyfriend to calm down? And because at that time someone implies you're gay, they're insulting you as a man, and so then he's like, okay,
go ahead and beat them up.
Yeah, go ahead and beat them up. John disposes of the guards and then tosses douche boy through a window. John and Joe know they saw in big doo-doo as as douche man limps away talking about a lawsuit.
Yeah, he's like, somewhere somehow cameras picked up on that, you're gonna be in big trouble. I was like, there's probably security cameras at the front entrance. Somewhere the front entrance, somehow the front entrance.
Yeah, exactly. At Joe's Crab Shack, John looks out at the marina and wonders why his life is so mundane. Joe comes out with a couple brewskis and tells him it ain't all bad. It's not the first time he's been suspended. And so what? John got fired. He can find another job that helps him utilize his skills. John says he's a Marine, as if we didn't know this already.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he says it more in case you forget.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe says,
and if he doesn't say it, other people do.
Joe says that was the case, but now he can go live his blessed life with his hot wife. How does Joe know he has a hot wife?
I thought the exact same thing.
Because plus, your wife is hot.
Yeah, and I was like, how would he know
that?
That's
supposed to be played for last, but I was like, how do you know?
They just met that day.
Yeah. Back at a hotel, Rome and Angela walk into their room. Rome wants to get hot and heavy, but Angela is pensive. He says, why, you don't trust me to give you your cut of the diamonds? Then she starts making out with him. As they're pawing at each other, Rome gets a boner-killing telephone call. He's talking to somebody on the other line about the heist, how they left witnesses, and about the person on the other line's involvement with the diamonds, and how Rome and his crew need to leave where they're at in order to not be picked up by the police. Back in suburbia, Joe drops off John, and the two part ways. John tells Joe not to tell anyone about their ordeal at work, which Joe agrees.
Stealing Harvard.
What's your name?
Joe.
John.
Your name is Joe John.
Joe. John.
Joe.
John.
Your name is Joe John. It's a scene with Jack Black and Ben Stiller.
God, what a great movie.
Yeah.
That movie is comic gold. Anyway, go ahead. John walks into his house and Kate asks how work was.
Orange County, not Stealing Harvard. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
John walks into his house and Kate asks how work was. John says fine, but then a news report comes up talking about the ordeal at the office building.
The cameras.
So much for Joe not telling anyone.
Yep.
Kate says she thought she was done worrying about John. John says this stuff isn't him, and Kate says he shouldn't have jumped right into work. John was like, I can't just sit around. Kate says they should take a trip and get away. John agrees, and that's that. The bazooka man from earlier, like I said, Morgan, goes into a chop shop and is felt up by a big boy. There's this big lineman-looking dude.
He's like, patting him down. Patting him down. He's checking for weapons.
Yeah.
Felt up by a big boy.
A big boy who played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I'm guessing by the size of the big guy's hands jogged Morgan's memory because he starts recognizing the guard as a former Pro Bowl player. Pro Bowl football player.
Yeah.
Started in a Super Bowl. Morgan meets up with the shop's owner who offers Morgan some rock candy.
Morgan tells the guy he knows he has an aversion to rock candy, to which the operator says, oh yeah, ever since that thing happened to you.
Yeah.
The operator brings Morgan to his next ride, which is a nice blue minivan with the wood paneling. Morgan takes issue with this, but the owner says Rome wanted them to be inconspicuous. Morgan continues voicing his various problems with the vehicle selection, so he decides to take a Cadillac instead. On the road, John and Kate drive up to the mountains. It's a long trip, so Kate suggests they go to the beach. John says he's seen enough sand for his lifetime. It's coarse and it gets everywhere.
I was just about to say, I don't like sand.
The two stop for gas and Kate says John has a nice butt. As John walks into the station store, which is in the trailer, he's a nice butt.
Yeah.
He's like, what?
She's like, no, but.
Nice.
He's like, what?
Nice.
No, but.
Nice, but.
And he's like, nice what? And she's like, no, nice but. And then he got a whole
just
habit.
Just get me a Diet Coke.
It's a whole who's on first thing.
Yeah. As John walks into the station store, he passes Rome, who's leaving. While he walks through the store, he also passes a few other of Rome's peeps.
Mm-hmm. Who are drawing so much attention to themselves just by looking at each other.
Yeah. While Rome fills up, a police car pulls up. All of Rome's people start freaking out, and one of the officers gets out to start pumping gas.
Yeah.
He greets Rome, who promptly shrugs it off. The music intensifies as Rome's crew exchange looks and make themselves look suspicious.
Yeah.
The officer approaches Rome and starts asking him about the Cadillac and Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Because there's a Las Vegas bumper sticker.
Yeah.
It's not just a random thing. Do you like Las Vegas?
Last time I saw a Cadillac like that was, let me think, Las Vegas.
Hey, viva Las Vegas. And then as the music crescendos, Morgan walks up behind the officer and shoots him in the head.
It's like,
which he didn't have to
do. Why did you do that? I feel like that interaction had maybe a couple minutes left. And then as long as you guys try not to draw attention to yourselves, you'll get away no problem.
There is that likelihood that if they run the plate, they could see maybe it's stolen.
True.
Although it comes from a chop shop. I don't know how that would work. Or there could be a way that they run the faces or
whatever.
Yeah, no. I don't know. However, it did seem like the officer wasn't getting nosy.
They were so close to being in the clear.
Yeah.
And then later when they blame Morgan for it, he's like, why are you blaming me? And it's like, because you did it?
Yeah.
We all saw you.
Yeah. Rome then shoots the other officer because there are two officers and Kate turns to see the scene. John runs out to get Kate, but then is leveled with a fire extinguisher by one of Rome's goons. Rome and his crew steal the Triton's SUV and take Kate as a hostage. Rome shoots up the gas pumps and the station starts to go up in flames. John starts coming to just in time to see Rome making off with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
John gets up as the place burns down around him. JT awkwardly runs away as the building explodes.
Wrestlers running is always one of the most funny things because the way they're built, they always look weird when they run.
Yeah.
It looks so unnatural.
Yeah. He takes the wounded officer away from the blast. He then steals the police car, uses a baton to push the windshield off, and takes off after the baddies. As he gives chase, he calls in the incident, tells them who he is. There's an officer down at the gas station, the make and model of the getaway car, and they have a hostage, his wife, which is a trailer moment.
Yep.
They used to show this trailer on SmackDown all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember seeing this trailer a lot.
Yeah.
And again, how we mentioned before, the story has nothing to do with the Marines. It's more like, oh, they got caught in the crossfire. They kidnapped her, and he happens to be a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like they could have connected it more to John maybe some sort of business deal with businessmen in Iraq, and John's like company, like Marine company, like group of Marines he's leading interrupted something there. I don't know, some sort of thread aside from just repeatedly reminding us that he's a Marine.
I think it's more so instead of having him in the situation as a Marine to where it's natural within the context, we now, since they're it's generally seen by a lot of Americans that if you've done military service, you're some sort of
you're a hero,
super
already.
Human. Yeah. So you want to build that up.
Yeah.
In this movie, especially the WWE,
who's
so pro military.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Like
it's
just the fact that he's a Marine makes him a Superman.
Yeah. Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
No, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. In the Triton's SUV, it's the same thing with Commando.
Yeah.
In the Triton's SUV, Angela looks in the glove compartment and finds Kate's ID badge, which says she is wife to a Marine. Wait, John's a Marine?
Since when?
I don't know.
I thought he was a security guard.
I did too. I thought
he was just a humble security guard.
I thought he was just a lowly security guard.
Yeah,
just a blue-collar guy from Wisconsin.
Yeah, just a random nerd who's built like a brick shit house.
Exactly.
And who happens to have all these the sudden set of skills.
Yeah, exactly. Angela then talks shit, and Kate tries to throttle her. Rome looks in the side view mirror and sees John is in hot pursuit. They think it's the cops, but they realize it isn't the cops. Morgan says he hates cops and rock candy. So like we said, I guess that's going to be a thing. John sans windshield, and within mere feet of the bad peeps in his SUV, starts to take on a barrage of gunfire, which he's able to evade with the tried and true method of ducking and slouching down a little.
I thought you were going to say, with the Triton method.
it's the Triton method. Ducking down and moving your head a little bit. Not to mention he uses a bulletproof vest as a shield against assault rifle fire at close range.
Yep.
Rome asks them to please shoot this guy. Despite their zigzag efforts in a work zone, the baddies can't shake John. One of the goons says this guy's like the Terminator, which gets Rome looking in the rearview mirror.
That's an excellent visual gag. It's say what you want about the movie. Okay, the shot of he doesn't say like he's not like huh?
Yeah.
Or don't say that. It's just like a brief nod to his role in Terminator 2. Like he looks in the, it gets a shot of him looking in the rear view and then comes, so it's
a nice little thing.
Yeah.
Blind squirrel finds a nut at least once.
Mm-hmm.
The police corps. Got the Marine Corps mixed up with a police car.
Well, whoopsies.
The police car has become a convertible after the roof had been knocked off by a backhoe. John plows ahead towards the baddies and puts his arm up to stave off being hit by a fireball. John.
That sounds absurd.
Trust me, it is. John ramps up onto the SUV hood, and as he flies through the air, his undercarriage is turned into Swiss cheese, and the car explodes as he flies out of the car and it careens over a cliff. The bad folks watch the fiery wreckage disappear, and believing her husband is dead, Kate jumps out and starts punching Rome. He tells his crew to shut her up. With the SUV totaled and them knowing their goose is potentially cooked, the baddies take off on foot. Rome says they got to take it hip to hip and rock it through the wilderness as they hope it. as they leave, Angela cold cocks Kate, and Morgan has to carry her. He tells everyone to look out for crocodiles in the movie's latest effort to make him the comic relief. At the charred remains of the gas station, Detective Martin Van Buren arrives and asks the 411. The cops give him the rundown about Triton and the perps. As Van Buren gets in his car, he quickly points his gun at a passerby, and it happens to be a slightly damp and muddy John Triton. Not a scratch on him.
Nope.
Triton says the ne'er-do-wells took his wife, and he's got to get her back.
And you want to know why there's not a scratch on him?
Because he's Superman. Because he's a Marine. He's Supermarine. Van Buren warns him that these crazies are dangerous, but Triton isn't hearing it. Although Van Buren said it's better left to the authorities, he goes against his better judgment and lets a citizen take the law into his own hands. It's okay. He's a Marine.
Yeah.
With Romico, there's end fighting between the cronies. One crony playing with a giant knife is saying Morgan is a crazy mofo and they wouldn't be in this mess if he didn't kill that cop. Rome agrees. However, he kills the crony giving Morgan shit, and then they take off because they need some crazy in the crew. Alligators then come up out of the water and eat the dead henchman, leaving only the giant knife he was fondling.
Yeah. And he's like, I thought you said there were no crocodiles in South Carolina. Those are alligators.
Yeah. Are they in North Carolina or South Carolina?
They're in one of the Carolinas. South. Yeah.
They're in NWA territory.
Yeah. That's all you need to know, yeah. People.
We get a shot of Rome and Co. walking through the woods, police combing the area, and John walking through the woods as well. And again, it's like a marshy bayou, wetland area with wooded surroundings.
Yeah. It's waiting for him to punch a snake.
Yeah, but exactly. I keep saying woods.
Yeah.
But
you can tell they filmed in the woods
and
tried to play it off as like it's the bayou.
Nah, it looks like the bayou, like lake area. John's walking in a different spot, and he also finds the big knife from earlier. Back with Rome and company, he gets a call from his business partner we heard from earlier. Rome says in all of this excitement of the last few hours, he's decided not to give the person on the other line a cut, and the deal is off. The partner is incensed, but Rome hangs up to take a call about a cable package he was approved for. For the lols. That's one of the moments where I was like, okay, like he's instantly lost his credibility as a sinister villain to me.
I literally went, ugh.
Like, why?
Because he's like, yeah, I'm in, yeah. Does that include all the sports packages?
The premium channels and sports packages?
It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
This is one of those moments to where you feel that Bulk and Skull music coming in.
To where you're like, that was one of the moments where I was like, why? What's the tone of this character?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to be scared of him or am I supposed to be laughing at him?
Let his cronies be the annoying jokey dipshits, mm-hmm. and he's like, everyone be quiet.
Yeah.
Quiet, all of you.
They're into the Tyrannosaurus paddock.
Exactly.
Robert Muldoon.
Yeah.
This movie was missing Robert Muldoon from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and you could have fit a few clever girls in here.
Clever girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a female hostage and female mm-hmm. henchwoman.
Yeah, exactly.
More police scour the area, more John walking through the swampy woods, occasionally looking up at a police helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sees footprints. Various times he sees footprints and follows them.
Yep.
Back with the bad guys, Morgan is complaining about where they're at. One of the other henchmen asks why Morgan complains so much, to which he replies with, brothers don't camp. This is the only instance we're going to directly mention that they use like a whole like black men don't do this, black brothers don't do that. It's like it's not
racially motivated dialogue,
but it's one of those of the time type things. We're not making excuses for, or just saying that's just what they're doing.
Yeah.
Rome wonders why Morgan makes it racial, and that's all we're going to say about
it.
He then asks Kate her opinion, and she calls him a psycho. Roman says it isn't nice to judge, then approaches Kate and starts hitting on her. He asks if... Whoa, why did I pronounce it that way? He asks if Angela's watching, then says how he and Kate could have a future. He asks again if Angela's watching, but does so by doing cartoonish facial expressions and doing that thing where he points his head in Angela's direction, like,
He's suggesting a threesome. He may as well have done the thing from The Simpsons, you know.
Kate says he's insane, and Roman agrees. Rome agrees. I got Roman Reigns on the brain.
And why shouldn't you?
He carries that company.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, back in a different section of wetland wood area, two brutes take notice of the cops in the surrounding area. Back with John, he gets caught in a trap, but cuts himself loose.
Yeah, this was so pointless.
Yeah, and it looks like when the rebels get caught by Ewoks.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's an added hurdle, added conflict,
added body count.
You didn't need it.
It was just more. It's just more of an effort to push how much of a superhuman.
Yeah,
this Marine is.
He gets captured. And well, you probably haven't. You haven't.
Yeah, I got a brief blurb about it. Back when John gets caught in a trap, but he cuts himself loose, one of the earlier brutes holds a shotgun to his head and thinks he's a cop. John says he isn't, but then is knocked out. Rome sees there are cops swarming a lodge at the lakefront, and he tells his crew to lay low. At a dingy warehouse, John is tied up by the characters only here for a body count. They're running drugs in these parts, and they keep interrogating JT about why his cop ass is out there.
Yeah.
Each time he tries to answer, he gets a five-knuckle shuffle sandwich to snack on.
Which, because the five-knuckle shuffle is one of his signature moves, and I did not know until last year that five-knuckle shuffle is another word for masturbation.
It's a euphemism.
Yeah.
John then pretends they're right, and he has a GPS tracker. The drug dealers get upset, and before they can kill John, he breaks out and beats them up. Rome's crew enter the lodge, and Rome tells Morgan to find a generator. Morgan pushes back at the idea because there could be a psycho with a hockey mask or some toothless hillbillies wanting man ass. Rome tells him it's like summer camp, no sweat. Morgan then starts talking about a time at summer camp where he was 13, and a counselor molested him. Essentially, that's what they're getting at.
Yeah, no,
And it's supposed to be played for laughs, but it gets a different kind of yuck from me.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. That's where his rock candy problem stems from. It brought nothing to the table.
Yeah.
It was needless, and it wasn't even the slightest bit funny.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, it's offensive.
Yeah. He alludes to a camp counselor when he was 13 and how they became friends. He's describing the grooming process.
Yeah.
And then he's talking about how there are things he wish he hadn't agreed to. And they've got this silly Balkan Skull bullshit music playing.
Yeah. Like with the...
Yeah, they play the Deliverance theme when it's like, this is such in bad, awful, horrible, horrendous, disgusting taste.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then they're like, they play him off like he's... Like it's... Oh, what a weird thing to happen at camp.
Well, sorry to hear about that. Your problem.
Yeah. Oh.
And these aren't good people anyway.
No.
But still, the writer of this movie wrote that as if it's some sort of thing to be joked about. That a grown man.
Oh, that explains a lot.
That this grown, big, bald guy was molested.
Is carrying childhood trauma with him.
Isn't that funny?
And they want us to laugh at him.
It's ridiculous.
Because he was groomed and molested by a camp counselor.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting, it's gross, and you should be fucking ashamed.
And it's pointless.
Yeah.
It's absolutely pointless.
It really is.
The punchline isn't even funny as to why he doesn't like rock candy.
No.
Like, and it's just generally from a comedic sense, it's just not funny.
Maybe have him, maybe when he was a kid, he's messing around with his friends, got a mouthful of rock candy, and a swarm of birds come down and try and pick it out of his mouth, or like pigeons or something. He gets swarmed by pigeons, and he's like, that's why I also don't like pigeons.
Yeah,
and then you can play silly music, and you can, it's the same effect, where they're looking at him side-eyed like... All right, well, good luck with that. Fuck this movie for thinking that that's okay.
Mm-hmm. They should have just spliced in Marv from Home Alone 2 when he's getting attacked by all those pigeons. I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the baddies get some guffaws from Morgan's trauma, and Morgan goes to find a generator. Morgan finds it under the building, and he gets to work. Or he gets it working. Up above, the lights in the cabin kick on, and a jukebox starts bumping the best royalty-free bluesy rock tune money doesn't have to buy. Rome says, cool. And everybody starts popping over stale and spoiled beers.
Mm.
We don't know how long those beers have been in there.
It's
we don't
just
know how
a
long
shack.
The lodge they're at.
Yep.
We don't know how long it's like been not occupied. Under the deck, Morgan nods in approval at his accomplishment. Just then, John bursts through the deck's wall, and he and Morgan start in with the fisticuffs. Just when it seems Morgan has John bested, John takes a knife and kills Morgan. Upstairs, Kate sits with a long face, and Roman walks outside to make a call. John walks under the building watching Rome. Rome calls the chop shop owner, needing some wheels. Back inside, Angela, the chop shop owner, says that he'll have some wheels that'll take him to Arizona, and they go to the marina. They can go to the marina to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Back inside, Angela wonders why Kate is eyeballing her. She then asks why Kate is sad. She's got great new friends. Kate then says Angela is Rome's puppet. Nameless henchman asks Rome the plan, and Rome asks why nobody trusts him. They're going to Arizona, then ask Bennett to start the boat outside. And like I said, that's when I first heard that was his name.
Yeah.
Bennett takes out his gun and calls for Morgan. He's ambushed by JT, and the two have it out. John choke slams Morgan through the dock and then jumps on him.
He should have started using a choke slam in his moveset.
No, because if it's some people's finisher and it's supposed to get the job done, and then other people use it as a special move and it doesn't get the job done, then it just shows the choke slam is ineffective.
Steven, wrestling is fake. Is a I know. Work, okay. When it does not matter.
Yeah, whatever. When looking at his handiwork, Van Buren shows up. When John looks at his handiwork, he asks how many are left. John gives a number, and VB and JT tells him to wait there. John says, no dice. VB advises against John's further involvement, but JT resists. Kate runs out, I almost said Kane, choke slams.
That's gotta be Kane!
Yeah. Kate runs out, but then is subdued by Angela. John kicks in the door, and Army rolls inside. Rome is giddy at John's appearance and then pops when he sees Van Buren. John just wants his wife, but Rome says it ain't that easy. John then sees VB pointing the gun at him, and it's revealed Van Buren was the diamond partner. Rome says if VB kills JT, then he'll get his diamonds. Just as Van Buren is about to pop a cap in some Cena ass, John grabs him and uses him as a human shield against Rome's gunfire. Rome escapes and says they're taking Can Byrons? I didn't edit this.
Grab me a couple canned Byrons.
Lord Byron.
Byron, Lord Byron.
Rome escapes and says they're taking Van Buren's car. He said the Marines showed up, so he shoots up the generator and the lodge explodes. John dives into the water, but Kate, Rome, and Angela thinks he's dead.
Yeah. Rome? They're like, oh, she's like, what happened? He's like, it's that damn Marines. Like, he's not dead. She's like, John!
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I don't have to finish the rest of this episode.
No problem.
Rome shoves Kate in the trunk. Then Angela puts some Then Angela pulls some handcuffs from the passenger seat, and she and Rome exchange a look. I don't know if I mentioned they're in Van Buren's car.
Yes.
John pops up from the water, then is interrogated and yelled at by a rude police boat pilot. Pilot, not plylet. John flips the script and handcuffs the officer. He exchanges a look with a tree, but then he hops in the boat and Thunder in Paradise is that shit.
I add this to my list of wrestlers driving speedboats in movies.
Hogan's done it twice.
Hogan did Thunder in Paradise and Mr. Nanny. The Rock did it in San Andreas. Mm-hmm. John Cena does it in the Marine.
Yeah, something about wrestlers with speedboats. Yeah. I feel like Macho Man did it on like an episode of Baywatch.
Yeah, probably. Wrestling with Speedboats is
the Bret Hart documentary. It's really called Wrestling with Shadows.
Yeah.
As they're driving, Angela is asking to keep one of the diamonds. Rome says they can arrange that, which doesn't sit well with Angela. So she straddles Rome while he's driving until she gets her way.
Whoa, hold on.
Whoa, that's hot.
Whoa, I need a minute.
After getting back in her seat, oh man, I'm a good writer. I need a minute. After getting back in her seat, she puts the bag of diamonds in her jacket pocket. After they're humping around, Angela and Rome keep getting transmissions being sent to Van Buren, which is being his car and everything.
Yeah.
Rome decides police transmissions, not alien transmissions.
Yeah, exactly.
Rome decides they have to ditch Van Buren's ride and find another set of wheels, so they can still get to the chop shop.
Yep.
On to Bayou. John continues his hot pursuit, now in a stolen police boat. We then see a semi truck approaching, and Angela throwing up her thumb to flag down the passing semi. Some sweaty Billy Bob stops, and Angela hops up on his cab and compliments his truck. Thinking he's found a prime lot lizard out on the Louisiana back roads, the sweaty redneck asks if Angela wants to go for a ride. Rome and Kate watch from the woods as the trucker gets a bullet for his troubles off camera. While on the boat, JT hears a police report about the dead trucker and his description of the truck. Rome drives
a big, ugly person.
It's just one ugly mother. Shut your mouth.
Yo, I'm ugly, mother. Shut your mouth.
Rome drives a semi and says they just need their new wheels and they're home free. Now it's nighttime, and John sees the truck pulling into the marina where Rome is supposed to be getting that new car. Rome notices John but thinks they lost him. Just then, John hops up on the truck, opens the cab, and tosses Angela into an oncoming bus.
Yep.
John tries to grab Rome, but Rome fights him off. In order to shake him, Rome drives John into the sides of buildings. John finally falls off, and Rome drives he and Kate into another lodge/warehouse that starts doing what else? Exploding.
Yep, that's might be the most absurd thing in the movie.
Yeah.
Is when he's driving him. Buildings are his, the force of his body are exploding buildings.
Yeah.
And not a scratch.
Exactly.
Like, there's a metal roof on one of them. He should have been decapitated.
Yeah. He ducked. He was using the Triton method.
Ah, yes.
You just used the Triton method.
Yeah, that should be the tagline of the movie. Just not a scratch. The Marine. Not a scratch. Rome jumps out and Kate...
No, that's a sequel.
Yeah, the Marine 2,
not a scratch.
That should have been the name of the... There's several Marine sequels with other WWE superstars.
Yeah.
Rome jumps out with Kate still handcuffed to the back seat. She's been handcuffed this whole time.
Yeah.
She was handcuffed the whole time! Dun, dun, dun! John goes to save his wife as the warehouse explodes around her, but Rome takes his legs out with a pipe,
mm-hmm.
like Nancy Kerrigan.
Yep.
The truck rolls into the lake with Kate screaming all the while.
Truck flies into the lake.
Flies into the lake.
Just that gives off the impression that it's slowly rolling into the lake.
Yeah. Rome and John fight, and Rome eventually takes John out with a sledgehammer. Uh-oh, Triple H.
Whoopsies.
Just when it seems all is lost, John brings a giant wrench to a chainsaw fight, and he's able to fend off Rome. With Rome incapacitated, John jumps in the water to save his wife's life. After getting her free, he pulls her out and walks her up to the shore. Kate comes to after CPR and yelling, and the music from The Shire plays again. Roy Scheider.
In the Marine.
However, just before the movie leaves us, they shoehorn one last bit of tension when burned up Rome comes out of nowhere and wraps a chain around John's neck. A
little jump scare for your troubles?
Yeah. John takes over Rome and flips him with the aforementioned chain, and that's it for Rome. Go ahead and Rome. Go ahead and Rome. John gets back to his wife, who most certainly hasn't gotten all the water out of her lungs, and gives the tagline for the movie box, "Should have gone to the beach." And that is the Marine.
That's the Marine.
We salute you.
This is a fun popcorn movie.
Uh-huh.
That if on a lazy Saturday,
you're watching
Sunday,
TNT.
Yeah. If you're hanging out with your buds, or if you're just hanging out by yourself.
Yeah.
You sit there and you're like, I don't know what I want to watch. Oh, the Marine.
Yeah.
It's mindless. It's only an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. It's not that long of a movie. It's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that egregious thing we had to point out.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
The people who are actual actors pull off their roles.
Yeah.
And John Cena, you see the glimmers of what could be.
This movie is for middle school boys.
Yep. Exactly.
Like that's the demographic. Middle school boys who are probably wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? It made some money. I don't know how much because I didn't look it up.
And also, I was a middle school boy who was a wrestling fan when this came out.
This actually came out, I think, when we were on the high school end of 2006.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember it distinctly.
I mean, we'd still watch SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. I just remember this kid in our grade had the novelization of this movie.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Let's just agree to disagree and say it was the summer from 8th.
We could just look up the date it
came out. It doesn't
matter.
Okay. I would like to end this episode.
Okay.
Now. Well, again, thank you everybody for listening.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to another riff.
Mm-hmm.
And until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you can be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.